Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's our second hour of sports talk.
You guys shut up.
We sportsed hard.
We are sportsing hard. There's no question.
Now I'm going to sport soft.
Mondays.
We start off sportsing hard, and then we go soft, and then back to hard, and then medium.
Yes, we're going to have a soft little Ravens-Chiefs preview here. And then we'll do Stockwatch, which will be semi.
Yeah.
And then we will get hard for in the news.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not sportsing hard. I mean, we're always bringing rock hard sport or rock hard news. I'm saying it hot 5 at 5, then
it's big.
Then it's big.
It's big today.
Then yeah. I feel like that's medium. And then 5:15.
Whoa. Jeff Austin's going to call you in for an appointment.
You know, you
a
better
tongue lashing.
You better bring the hard sports action at the hot 5 at 5. Or
you know
Jeff
who's responsible?
Baton Rouge will not like it.
Do you guys all know that Jeff Baton Rouge is responsible for the hot 5 at 5?
Yes.
Yes, because you tell us every chance you get.
First one to ever come up with the idea. No one's ever done 5 top stories at 5 o'clock in the history of sports radio. Don't check into that, by the way. Just accept it.
Trust us.
As fact.
All right. Well, we've got Stockwatch next in the news. Hot 5. We've got our Monday college football reach around. We haven't even gotten to college football, and it's starting to pick up. NFL leftovers already. NBA final. I mean, come on. Baseball playoffs?
Our Miami Heat.
Come
Myers
on.
Leonard, by the way, was such a great flex. When Bam had that huge throwdown dunk, the Myers flex on the sideline. I mean, everyone's focusing on Bam's play. What we need to be focusing on is Myers Leonard mean mug flexing every time Bam did something.
He also took a great picture with the Eastern Conference trophy and had like a cool little message with it.
I haven't seen that.
Well, yeah. What is it?
I mean, he was just like, I worked so hard to get to this moment and et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, Myers, you've been flexing on the bench.
Yes. You think that's easy? You think it's easy to be in that kind of shape?
Well,
to
he's
flex?
Being a smartass, right? Like he's just being funny about it.
No,
I think
he's
so.
Being dead serious.
Oh no,
I'm still bummed out.
Because that's funny if he meant it to be funny.
No, I'm still bummed out that on the Heat website I can order everyone's like jersey, shirt, but Myers Leonard. Apparently, I can't do that. It's ridiculous.
So Monday Night Football is Chiefs Ravens.
You are correct, sir.
Come on, fella. Now that's a good game.
And the Chefs, for the first time, I believe, since Pat Mahomes, regular season starting, he is an underdog.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
This is the defending Super Bowl champs against the team that's won 14 in a row.
Yeah.
And it's the first game in NFL history that features two MVPs, both under the age of 26.
What more could you want?
Well, I can tell you what more you could want. The matchup of the two best kickers in the NFL, and that's what you get, damn it.
That's the one thing that no one is focusing on.
Well, I just said it.
You do.
I'm focusing on it.
You have a man crush on Mr. Tucker.
I think Justin Tucker is amazing.
You've had it for many years.
I think that it's possible he's the greatest kicker of all time, but I'm not prepared to defend that, so don't at me or whatever they say.
I think he is the most accurate kicker of all time.
He is amazing, and it is unbelievable to me when I turned on my TV on week one and the Ravens were playing the Browns, and I was like, holy crap, Justin Tucker's still out there, and he kicks like 80-yard field goals.
Yeah. Did you see that? It was in week one.
He's
his
amazing.
First field goal he kicked, it was caught on the hot mics. He goes, woo! still effing got it.
Still effing got it.
Well, the Chiefs have the butt, right? Is it Butker, right?
I don't know how you pronounce it. I think it's
Butker.
It's Butker.
Yeah.
He's the butt.
Harrison Butker.
Yeah. Harrison Butker.
Yeah, the ass is out there kicking.
He's great.
He's like Gus the field goal kicking mule.
Well, now he's younger.
The butt, then who's Jake Butt?
Oh, that's the tush right there. All the headlines anytime Jake Butt's involved is just fantastic.
Lamar Jackson, by the way, 21-3 in the regular season as a starter, but two of those losses have been to the Chiefs. Yeah. So Mahomes has torched the Ravens defense in the past, but John Harbaugh maintains they're different now. They traded for Marcus Peters. They have two other DBs that have emerged, Marlon Humphrey, Jimmy Smith.
It's a good defense. I mean, they got rid of Earl Thomas, and they just addition by subtraction.
Well, they added Calais Campbell, too. That helps him.
I want to say that I know they've only played the two games. This will be their third, but they are, I think, top 10 pretty much in every statistical category in defense. This is obviously a much bigger challenge.
Who was their other game? Cleveland and who else?
Cleveland and who was their? It's the Texans. Mm. And they rolled them both. Mm. But,
that's right.
You know, I take it for what it's worth. But you look at Baltimore on paper. Mm. There just isn't a lot of weaknesses there. And to me, this comes down to, can you get home with four?
Right.
When you saw the Chargers last week make Kansas City look mortal, and then we needed the butt to come out and kick three straight 50-yard field goals to beat the greatness that is Justin Herbert, the reason why that was successful and why Kansas City looked normal was that the Chargers got home rushing four. If you have to blitz against Kansas City and you have to play man coverage behind it, you are in a world of trouble. One, Mahomes can move around in the pocket and buy time. He can take off and run with his feet. And Kansas City has mismatch problems all over the field. Whether you're talking about in the middle or two guys on the outside that can flat out run, they've got all the weapons. And now they have a great back out of the backfield that you can dump it off to in Edwards-Helaire. If you just sit back and you play zone, Mahomes will be happy to sit in the pocket and pick you apart. He's so accurate. So the way to nullify Kansas City is, and this is true of most great quarterbacks, is to get home rushing four. And the Chargers were able to do it on a consistent basis, and it made the Chiefs look normal. So this comes down to me, this game is, can the Ravens follow the model what the Chargers did and make Mahomes uncomfortable rushing four? If you can, then Kansas City's in a world of trouble, because you know that Baltimore in that plus one run game, it's going to be brutal. That is an offensive machine.
And by the way, a lot of you texting in that we need to remind our listeners that Justin Tucker is not only a great NFL kicker, he is a great opera singer.
Yes.
That is true. Yeah. He was featured on 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
Or one of those. Maybe it's HBO Real Sports, but one of them showed he's amazing.
He does a little bit of everything.
But the question is Baltimore's defensive front,
It's not as good as the Chargers.
Going into the season, I was reading up on their defensive front from Pro Football Focus. You know, they do position by position, position groups. And they were talking about how the Ravens defensive front really does need to be more about scheme and blitzing than it is about just hog mollies up there that you just trust to pin their ears back.
Because you got what? Derek Wolfe, who's good, not elite. Campbell is elite in the middle. But I don't know if necessarily he's not necessarily a pass rushing machine, but you run that 3-4. And a lot of times when you run the 3-4, you do have to rely, unless you have dominant edge guys on the outside, put your hand in the dirt, you know, Von Miller types, you do have to scheme a little bit more. But if you're Baltimore, you have to find a way to only rush four or five. And like you said, kind of what Pro Football Focus was talking about there is you have to find a way to scheme a pass rush without having to commit six guys.
Yeah, so we'll see if they can do it. Good little matchup. Reminds me of last year. I think it was early in the season. I don't remember which week, but the Ravens had a big, it was either Sunday night or Monday night game where they played the Patriots, and Ravens looked freaking great in beating them. And I think it's the same is going to happen tonight. The Chiefs, you know, they're awesome, but there's been a couple times where you're watching them going, ooh, what's going on there?
I think Baltimore has got a chance here to run roughshod over a lot of people. I mean, they did last year in the regular season. They've been for the last couple of years, they have been dominant. They get to the postseason and they stub their toe. But in the regular season so far, no one's really figured out a way to slow these guys down. And Lamar Jackson just keeps getting better throwing the football, and they're scary good. I love the creativity and what Lamar Jackson brings in this offensive scheme. This is the perfect marriage of athletic quarterback and building a scheme around what he does well. And he throws the ball a lot better than he did early on in his career. And you're now seeing what a true dual threat quarterback can do in this league with Lamar Jackson.
Did you see the guy who said his fantasy league on his page? For some reason, Harrison Butker shows up as Harry Butt Kicker.
That's fantastic.
That I love.
Ah, the butt out there booting field goals.
Thank you for pointing that out to us.
Yes.
We needed to know that.
It warms my heart.
All right, up next, it's time for our Primetime Stock Watch, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on The Fan.
Your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, in the news is coming up next. How did the dueling Portland rallies go? We will find out from your noted newsman and news contributor.
Were you down there mixing it up?
No.
You and your fellow Proud Boys?
I wasn't. I was just hoping Proud Boys wouldn't make their way down to Langdon Farms.
They just show up on the eighth green. You're like, what? What is happening here?
Then there would have been problems.
Yeah. I probably could have blended in into the, like, if you wanted someone to infiltrate the Proud Boys.
You look Proud Boy-ish.
I'm sure I could blend right in, just walk in off the street. No one would think anything of it.
Before we get to that, here is our dear friend Mike Lynch with Stockwatch.
Who's doing as much or more for their football team than anybody? It's Josh Allen. And then go to yesterday's game. They take the huge lead, all right, and then the bogus PI happens or the bogus interception happens. But then that, and Key, you know this, like that fourth quarter drive comes and they get third and 22 and they convert it because of him. And then they get third and 25 and they convert it because of him. And if that was Aaron or if that was Russell or Tom or Drew, we would be making a much bigger deal about that drive and those two conversions. And they win the game because of Josh Allen. And now they've got a quarterback that teams are looking at and going, dude, if they get into the fourth quarter, this kid's good enough to go win the game for them because it's happening so consistently.
Dan Orlovsky there. I might argue that they won the game because of the pass interference call that wasn't pass interference. But Josh Allen did play fantastic once again in the game. I have eaten crow. Josh Allen is good. I'm no longer going to say Josh Allen is bad.
Suk won't go that far yet.
Suk.
No, I have multiple. What are you talking about?
No, you have not.
No, you said.
This is your official time.
Yeah, you said he's good right now, but you were not willing to say he's good.
For all the Bills fans out there, Suk, are you ready to eat crow like you did with Lamar Jackson and say that Josh Allen, good at football?
Yeah, Josh Allen is good. Josh Allen has consistently gotten better. Mm. He still can drive you insane because it just feels at times you are on a white knuckle ride with him making a dumb play, but he's cut down on the number of times that has happened, and he has gotten so much better in the pocket, and he's throwing the ball with accuracy that I just didn't see coming, especially after those first couple years where it looks sketchy as all get out. They have been slow to develop him and lean on a defense in a run game, but Josh Allen right now is carrying the Buffalo Bills. And yes, Josh Allen is a good quarterback. Does he go on to be elite? I don't know. You know, I refuse to buy into the three-game thing. You know,
MVP candidate, Suk.
Exactly, right? It's three games.
You should have just left it there. Why not? Now you're going to say, oh, he's not elite. No. And then Mike someday is going to have a stock watch. He's like, is Josh Allen elite? And Suk's going to be like, yeah, he's elite right now. But I don't know if he's elite.
I thought coming in,
Bills. The next is Eli Manning elite.
I'll say this. I thought coming into the year, the Bills were a playoff team. They were going to win that division and maybe even to make a deep run. And it was going to be defense, run game, and a distant Josh Allen. And right now, the Bills are a playoff team. The Bills are a contender. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team, but they're a contender. And right now, it is Josh Allen number one, defense and run game. And I never would have thought I'd say that after 3 weeks. Josh Allen is good.
It's not even a conversation to even have at this point. You're down by 16 points when Nick Foles took over. He was 16 to 29 for 188 yards. Serviceable. That's who he is. You're done with Mitch Trubisky. You've made it very clear that you did pick up his fifth-year option, and the fact that you got off to a 2-0 start, and I always said, give it 3 to 5 games before you make a decision to go to Nick Foles, where you did it in the third game, so there's nothing else to talk about. If I am the head coach and Matt Nagy, I have to now come out to my team in our team meeting when we start the new week in preparation for the next opponent and let them know that Nick Foles is our starting quarterback moving forward.
Keyshawn Johnson there talking about the Bears quarterback situation. Nick Foles, the starter moving forward, says Matt Nagy. So that means Trubisky's done. Buy or sell, Trubisky will be a starter in the future, not because of an injury, but because a team actually wants him to be a starter.
Nope. His career as a starter in the NFL is over. He just hasn't shown enough in any form of consistency. And the Bears have actually put a pretty decent team around him. They've got a couple of backs. There's some weapons on the outside. He just isn't good, right? He had the same thing that Allen had early on, is that he was an athletic guy and could run around with his feet, but he couldn't throw the ball. But unlike Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, he never got better throwing the football. I mean, they were 2-0, but it was the softest 2-0 with Mitch Trubisky that you could possibly have. His ass got benched. There's nothing he's put on film where anyone's going to say he is a starting quarterback. He is the definition of a backup. His career as a starter is effectively over.
Yeah, I would say, like, it's interesting. These quarterbacks get benched, and depending on who they are, you can see someone maybe wanting to do something with them. Like, I thought that of Mariota, right?
Yeah.
But Trubisky's a guy who it kind of feels like nobody liked in the first place.
Nope.
You know, just the Bears kind of reached for him and saw something they liked. And so I don't think much of the league likes Mitchell Trubisky. Meanwhile, there's other guys that continue to get opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, right? In spots where, again, it's not like you're going out trying to find an MVP candidate, but you need a stopgap quarterback like a Ryan Fitzpatrick or something.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy will continually get that opportunity. I don't see Trubisky getting that. I don't think teams like him. So I sell it. Bill.
It's the Rays. They're going to be the number one seed in the American League. They have great starting pitching, especially if Charlie Morton is back healthy. They can match up with any rotation. Somehow they get it done in the bullpen. And I look at their lineup certain days and wonder, how are they going to score enough runs? And yet they always do, because Kevin Cash is the master at mixing and matching with their lineup every day. Plus, they play the game differently than everyone else. No team plays the game better than the Rays do. Defensively, fundamentally, all that stuff. It sounds like a little thing. Mm-hmm. It's a big thing, and that is a really dangerous team right now.
Tim Kirkjian talking about Tampa, who got the one seed in the American League going into the playoffs that start tomorrow.
He's saying the one seed is dangerous?
Buy or sell.
Gee.
The Dodgers will lose in the World Series for a third time, this time to the Rays.
No.
The Dodgers will lose to the Rays in the World Series?
Yes.
Whoa.
I'm gonna say no to this. First off, the two one seeds won't get there. It's baseball. Something funky will happen. One of them will go down. But I said it all along, and I'll stick with it. I know they had some bumps in the road. The Dodgers will finally put an end to this. The Dodgers will win the World Series.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I don't think it's gonna be Rays Dodgers. Then again, you might think, well, okay, what do you think it's going to be? No clue. Well, I think this thing is...
Put on your big sports brain and tell me, Isaac.
I'm going to tell you one team that I think could surprise a lot of people. This thing is so wide open because they're playing such short series.
The Miami Marlins.
No, the one team that I was looking through it last night, kind of looking at the odds on the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app, and going, well, okay, so I think that the American League's wide open. I know Kirkjian likes the Rays, but... the A's are just as good as the Rays, in my opinion. The Twins are just as good as those two teams. I think the AL, the team that I saw the odds and went, you know, that team could do something, is the Indians. And the reason I say the Indians is because they also play good defense, but they have filthy pitching. I think next to the Dodgers, the Indians might have the second best pitching in all of baseball. You have an ace in Shane Bieber that nobody can hit, and their offense isn't very good, but...
I think it's worse than not good. It's terrible.
Well, but they have an MVP guy right in the middle of it. Jose Ramirez has been raking, and I feel like, you know, all it takes in a couple of these games is get him up in a big spot, and he's certainly got more punch than any hitter in the Rays lineup in terms of just a guy who can get hot and carry him. So, I don't know. The Indians were like... They were like +850 to win the AL... So I thought that was kind of an interesting little pick, but I think
the AL need them getting past the Yankees first.
I think the AL is just wide open.
It is.
I do not want to face Shane Bieber at all.
At the start of the year, look, I'm not overthinking it. On paper, who is the best team in baseball? The Dodgers. Who has the best record in baseball? The Dodgers, who has the deepest pitching staff in baseball. The Dodgers, who has the biggest run differential in all of baseball. It's not even close. They're like plus 138, 135, something like that, over the shortened season. The Dodgers.
Who can't win the World Series? The Dodgers.
It can't happen every year, right?
Who's really bad in the playoffs? Clayton Kershaw.
It can't happen every single year, well, again, though. I guess it happened with the Bills.
But I think that... Again, I think with these series, you know, these first round series are three games,
yep,
and then five games. I just think a team like that, it's kind of a bad year to be the best team far and away, because it just feels like it's going to be really topsy-turvy. Anything could happen. But, yeah, I mean, the Dodgers are clearly the best team, but they've been the best team in the past,
yep,
and have not won.
Most popular upset pick that I've seen, Reds over Braves in the first series.
Oh, really?
That's the 2-7.
Well, because the Reds have Bauer and freaking
Castillo.
And Castillo, and then Sonny Gray, too.
Yeah.
That's pretty tough for a 7
3-game series.
Yeah.
And the Braves have no pitching outside of Max Fried, so.
But they can hit.
That they can.
Actually, yeah. I've said it time and time again. I believe in our group. I know that we can still win 4 more. We're not satisfied. We're not complacent. We know we got a really good team to go up against. We can enjoy it for the night, but we said this from the beginning of the year.
There's Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Buckets.
Ooh.
Buy or sell our Miami Heat beat the Lakers in the NBA bubble finals.
Sell.
No. When's the last
sweep? Buy it.
When's the last time? Do you have to go back to maybe?
Don't you dare.
I was going to say, do you have
overlook to overlook Myers Leonard on the sideline?
Do you have to go back to the Pistons that beat the Lakers for an NBA final where the team with clearly the two best players, and it's not even close, lost? And no offense to Jimmy Buckets and Mr. Hero and the great Myers Leonard, but the Lakers have the two best players and by a country mile. I just, it's too much. The Lakers are too good inside. The role players have found
a country mile?
By a country mile.
Oh, it's not even close.
Country mile.
You're setting this up to be a Heat and six. Like, come on,
guys. Well, it's possible. I mean, like I said, it happened. The two best players in that Lakers-Pistons series by a country mile were Shaq and Kobe.
Do it.
And the Pistons took them down. So it can happen.
Yeah, but they were better.
But
this Heat team doesn't even have a top 10 player.
No.
I mean, come on. They're a 5 seed. Look, they're really good. And Eric Spoelstra's really good. And Jimmy Butler should be commended.
And Bam's been great.
Tyler Hero's been fantastic. Yeah, Bam's an interesting player in this series because he could actually, they need two Bams, but he could guard
Myers Leonard,
Anthony Davis.
Yeah, give him some problems.
And or LeBron James. So he's a pretty flexible player. Outside of him, holy crap, I think it's going to be a sweep. And I think it's going to be a sweep, but every game is going to be close. I think the Heat are going to play them tough.
Like
but
that Blazers-Warriors series.
In the end, yes,
like,
exactly.
Oh, good job, Blazers. You played really hard.
In the end, LeBron James and Anthony Davis will be too much.
Someone saying, what team has Myers Leonard? Exactly, the X Factor.
Yes, the hammer. His flexing on the sideline is going to intimidate LeBron James to miss some shots.
The Lakers bench.
The Heat are going to win the series.
The Lakers bench has no answer for the charades, the escapades going on Miami's sideline.
All right, that is our Stock Watch. Each Monday at 4:15, it's brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. In the news is next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the Hot 5 at 5 is coming up. We have to get to college football. We had some interesting games over the weekend, believe it or not. We will get to that in our next hour of radio broadcast here today on The Fan.
Yeah, the Pac-12 is genius. Just by not playing, they'll eventually end up in the top 5 because everyone else sucks.
Yeah, Oregon's in the AP poll this week at number 14.
Although they dropped 4 spots from the initial poll. I think they were 10, so they'll just keep climbing because...
What'd they do to piss them off?
They canceled their season. Oh. That and they had like
that'll do it.
They had their two very best players and then two other members of their secondary decide not to play. That hurts too. Think about it. Oregon, their two best players, and it's not even close. Neither one of them is playing this year.
It is September 28, 2020. It is time now for In the News. I am your noted newsman. What's going on? How's everybody's weekend?
Not a bad little weekend.
Good little weekend.
Good little weekend.
I like to hear it. It is National Drink Beer Day.
Okay. I'm working right now, but when I get home, I'll hoist one up for you.
I'm going to have, in honor of National Good or National Drink Beer Day.
National Good? What?
I'm going to drink Mike Lynch's beer tonight.
Do you
still have one? I put it in my fridge.
You're getting to be at that month old spot. You got to get it before the hops start to fade.
Yep, I'm going to have it tonight.
Mike, I do not have any, but I will crack a Rainier tonight in your honor. And there you
Thank
go.
Thank you. It's officially sold out, by the way.
Oh, well, look at that.
Sold out in a month. It's good.
Love it.
In honor of fancy beer, Mike Lynch, cracking open the Big R tonight just for you.
It's an IPA, right?
It is. Yes. Yeah. West Coast IPA. It's a good thing you're doing Rainier and not, like, you know, something else.
What? Oh, you would like not another fancy beer?
Just enjoy Rainier. That's good.
I feel like Mike is giving me like
a... He just can't help himself.
I think he's doing like a little head pat.
He is.
No.
I think that's what that is.
No, I'm saying I'm okay with you having Rainier. I don't mind.
I don't think he is.
There are other things that would be way worse than having Rainier.
I feel like there's a lot of judging going on right now.
There's no question.
There's no judging. I'm very happy you're choosing Rainier over some other ones. That's all I'm saying.
He's like, keep drinking your little Rainier beer.
Cute little beer.
Nothing to be ashamed of. No, so I'm going to drink that tonight, and then I'm going to report on TikTok. I'm going to hop on TikTok and do a report card on it.
You're going to do a dance, I hope?
Are we allowed to be on TikTok, or is it not banned or something?
No, I think the ban got postponed.
Aha! Told you.
Yeah, you can still download it.
Also, National Good Neighbor Day, so...
Boy.
This doesn't pertain to you.
No, it does not. Although I'm good with two of the neighbors because I got four technically. The property line is with four people, and I only hate with every fiber of my being two of them. The other two are great.
So how did the Dueling Portland rallies go? You ask?
I am asking.
That's probably a question a lot of people are asking today. Hundreds of supporters of the right-wing Proud Boys group rallied in Portland, Oregon on Saturday in a largely peaceful event.
Largely.
But police and left-wing protesters later clashed in the city's downtown.
Headlines.
Snowflakes.
Nice.
This from U.S. News and World Report.
Can I just say, like, I don't... You can join whatever little group...
It sounds like a fake thing, by the way.
It does.
U.S. News and World Report.
You've never heard of U.S. News and World Report? News outlet.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
But it's I get where you're coming from.
It just
sounds
fake.
It sounds like something like a fifth grader would come up with. We're going to make a news show. What's it going to call? The U.S. and the world. But the
news
whole,
report.
Yeah, the whole Proud Boy thing. I mean, look, didn't someone along the line get together and be like, I should, like, Proud Boys?
That's a bad name. Like, is that what you're
saying? That's the name you came up with?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I got about a million other problems with them, but. Like, Proud Boys? Like, that's like, yeah, just seems kind of a, speaking of something like a fifth grader would come up with, hey, we're putting together our alt-right-wing group. What are we coming up with? I don't know. Are we proud? Yeah, then we're a bunch of boys. Yeah, we'll just be the Proud Boys. It's like how your little kid's soccer team ends up being the Blue Sharks. Can't come up with anything better than that.
Well, they had a rally in a North Portland park, and it ended after just a few hours of speeches and chants, you know. Proud Boys got a chant.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they were chanting against anti-fascists and against Black Lives Matter groups, which held a counter-protest 2 miles to the south. Mm. Now, rocks and cans were thrown at officers in downtown on Saturday night, and more than a dozen people were arrested, according to the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office. Bystander video shows Portland police pushing back a crowd with some carrying Black Lives Matter signs. There was also an independent police review investigation going into a video of a cop grabbing a photographer and throwing them to the ground.
Yeah, they
said they will review that.
Yeah, they're doing an investigation.
The IPR, independent police review, said that they'll look into it.
I still don't understand. Is that like where? Is that new, the independent police review thing? Is that like part of the reform? Has that always been there?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how old they are
Is that a government thing or is it just like a watchdog? I saw that today and I wasn't quite certain what that is. They police the police?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Portland. There's also concerned citizens that have formed a coalition to clean up the city of Portland.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah.
It's a lot more graffiti I've seen lately.
Sure.
A lot more.
But I stand. I go by it. I've said this a million times. I will continue to say it. You can go into downtown. Now, I wouldn't go down when the protests are at 11:30 at night. But like Friday nights, I went out again down into downtown Portland to have a nice bite to eat. And it is not a war zone. There are not homeless people on every single corner. You are not stepping over human feces everywhere you walk. It does not feel scary in any stretch of the imagination.
Show me the bodies.
In fact, that area down there in the Pearl now, like where like, you know, they block off the street, like where like where 10 Barrel and all that stuff is, like the Filson stores down there. They used to block that off so cars couldn't come through because everyone's hanging out down there. They've re-blocked that off now because there's so many people out and about. It is not a war zone in most of the city, and it is not just some sort of human cesspool down there.
Well, don't we think, I mean, I always sort of feel like people use the term Portland downtown loosely.
Yes.
Like that, like you're talking about that 10 Barrel area over there. Like that to me is Pearl District.
Sure.
Not down, like when I think downtown, I think downtown, you know.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, you know, you could broadly say downtown and, you know, have some really great pockets that are thriving were it not for COVID or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that generally speaking, downtown was not even a thing before all this happened, right? Like people were not going downtown.
Yeah, there are certain places where there's no reason to go.
Now, that doesn't mean the Pearl District. I mean, the Pearl District is technically downtown, but that's, like, I don't know. I would say Pearl District as opposed to downtown.
But I've been down, like, I've been down off of Burnside, and it is weird now because all the music venues are shut down. So, you know, that stuff is boarded up. And there's certainly more boards up, and obviously you see the graffiti. I'm not saying that, like, you're going to go down there and take your wedding photo. But I swear, they make it sound like if you go into downtown Portland, regardless of where you're at, that you're walking into the demilitarized zone. And it just,
no,
at
that's
least
true.
At least from my experience, having been down there plenty over the last couple months, it is not.
Look at you just out and about, flaunting your COVID, your COVIDity.
No, well, summer's almost over.
You got to get out because pretty soon I read a thing in Time today that the COVID's about ready to smack us in the face yet again.
Oh, I did read that. The third surge.
The third surge is coming. So
the struggling New York Times?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking
about?
It was Time Magazine.
Oh, the fake news Time Magazine. Well, I just think we need to define what downtown. What is downtown? When they say Portland downtown, what exactly is that? Because it wasn't even a thing before all this happened. People were not going down there. But
I think generally when people refer to downtown, they're referring to the west side.
Yes, right, close in to the
water. But I also think they include the Pearl in that. I just think they generally include that area as downtown.
From NATO and the waterfront park. And just,
you know, up to Providence Park.
Yes.
And then like out to the Pearl a little
all
bit.
All that.
And maybe you can say 23rd is not downtown because it's more neighborhoody, but you know, it's all in the same area.
But I've been to bars, I've been to restaurants, we've been out and about, and it just, I don't know, it's not apocalyptic. It's not ideal. It's not as nice as it was, but it is not Thunderdome down there, as some people would say. And I think there are people that are absolutely terrified to go down there, and you shouldn't be. I mean, businesses are hurting, and you know, you can get out and support them. Get out and support them.
242 new COVID cases in Oregon yesterday. One new death.
That's down.
181 new COVID cases today. No new deaths.
That's down again.
So we rejoice.
Hooray!
Did you see where in the United States cases are rising rapidly? As a matter of fact, this place had over 1,000 new cases on Saturday. Whoa. Did you read this?
No, I did not.
Any guesses? It's a city.
It's a city?
Yes.
Somewhere in Florida.
Good guess, but no.
Florida has lifted all restaurant restrictions. You can do whatever you want.
I'm going to go ahead and say New York City.
It is indeed New York City. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Honestly, that Time Magazine is a little, when Mike read the same story, there is a little bit of that, like, oh, crap. Come on, vaccine!
Also,
come on!
In that Time Magazine article, they were saying that now it is all of the smallest counties in the country that are having massive spikes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas in the beginning, all the largest counties were because they were the population hubs.
And it could be scary because the smaller counties don't have the hospital space and don't have the infrastructure to handle this if it does have breakouts. It's kind of a scary thing. So let's cross our fingers that that doesn't happen.
So COVID was in the largest counties, and now it's in the smallest counties.
Yeah. Yes.
So therefore, we can deduce that it is everywhere, or at least has been everywhere.
This article said that 90% of Americans still haven't been exposed to it at all, or even come close to it. and that the virus is just there. It's just waiting. It's waiting for people to start getting together again. So
okay,
maybe just be smart out there. That's all.
That's all. Another selfie death I have to tell you about.
Really?
Yes.
Is this a Darwin sort of award thing?
Well, you know, these things happen, and it's probably not all dumb people. It's just,
I kind of think it's an accident. I kind of think it's dumb people.
But, yeah, it's like, how far are you reaching out there, you know? Yeah. It's like, just to try to get that shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got, and this is of the local variety, so I've got that for you coming up next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is in the news for September 28th, 2020. We have another selfie death, unfortunately, to tell you about. This is a 43-year-old man from Seaside.
43? Normally, I would think those skew a little younger.
Yeah, I would agree. He fell about 100 feet.
Yeah, I would agree.
Into the ocean from a cliff at Oswald West State Park, which is north of Manzanita out there. 1:48 p.m., emergency personnel responded to the report of a person who fell from a cliff on the Devil's Cauldron Trail.
Oh, the old Devil's Cauldron. That should let you know.
An investigation revealed that two people had walked down the Devil's Cauldron Trail to take a photograph at a cliffside viewpoint, as you do. And all of a sudden, Steve Gastellum of Seaside climbed a tree on the cliff's edge to pose for a photograph when a limb broke, causing him to fall into the ocean.
Oh, my gosh.
To your point, Jason.
He climbed out on a limb over the edge of a 100-foot-plus cliff? I mean,
yeah.
Steve, my
to
man.
To your point.
Well, last time we were in Bend, me and the my lady friend, we went down to Bend like a month ago, whenever that was. I was on vacation.
They did get him out of the water, but he was later pronounced dead at the hospital.
And it's Tumulo Falls, something like that. It's a big hike in Bend. You can go on there, and there's an awesome waterfall, and it's probably a legit 150-foot.
You're talking about Tumulo Falls?
Tumulo Falls, yeah.
Tumulo,
whatever that thing is. And there's a viewing platform there, and you can look across the way. And we saw a bro, and I really did. There was a group of people, and we were watching for probably 20 minutes. We thought we were going to see someone die. I'm pretty sure he was on something. But there was a young bro, very, very bro-y, shirt off. And he was literally dancing on the edge of the cliff with his phone extended.
TikTok.
And was running down to the edge and hopping over and dangling his feet. At one point did a handstand on the edge of the cliff. And I mean, he was on the edge. And everyone was just sitting there, and ladies were screaming at him. Someone was trying to call the police, but there was no cell service. Mm. And we just sat there, and I was like, oh my God, I'm about to watch someone die. And it seemed to me the dude was a little bit messed up on something, but you couldn't take your eyes off of him. And I thought, you're going to die because you wanted to post something on Instagram.
Yeah, it's brutal.
And luckily, it didn't happen, but it scared the living hell out of me, and I was on the other side watching.
Man. Well, rest in peace, Steve.
Yeah, honestly, that guy's got a family, wife, kids, whatever.
But come on.
Don't do that. It's not worth it. Anything for the gram. Anything but your life. How about that?
By the way, I looked it up. The Portland Independent Police Review was founded in 2001.
Okay, so it's been around a while.
So it has been around
a
while.
Is it a part of the police? Is it a government agency, or is it just like a watchdog group?
Their government, it says, their website is a government website address.
Okay.
So like it's just a City of Portland Independent Police Review. Like it's a city
like internal
thing.
Affairs, but not police.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
You never really hear about them.
No.
But
when I saw this, my first thought was, who are these people?
And finally, Gary, we have a missing teenager up at Mount St. Helens that everyone's looking for. This is always a weird one. This kid, he's 16. His name is Anthony Mancuso. And he was hiking with his mom and his 13-year-old sister when he simply went to the restroom. Okay.
Yeah. And then
never seen again.
Oof.
This was about 3 p.m. yesterday.
So they know.
And they don't know. They have no idea. they said that there's a photo because they took photos, you know, they were doing the whole, yeah. So he's got a black t-shirt on and shorts. And I mean, just looks like a, you know, 16-year-old kid. And he just said, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And he never returned. They have no idea where he is and they're looking for him.
But you would at least think now, you know, the path that he was on. So you've got a, I'm assuming a fairly small area to search.
I don't know. He was last seen wearing a navy blue shirt with an image of the Montana skyline on it. And Montana skyline.
You're out in the woods. What?
Along with black shorts and black shoes. Anyone who's seen him is asked to call 911.
Well, can't you just go to the... Well, never mind.
So this is up in...
I was going to say, you just go to the bathroom? You're in the woods.
So this was... It's hard to know where that is. You've been up to Mount St. Helens.
Yeah.
It doesn't really say where he was.
Well, that's kind of what I was wondering. Like, in my time up at Mount St. Helens, I mean, is there, like, bathrooms? That
would lead me to believe he was in a pretty...
Yeah, it's got
to
be in a fairly, like the recreational area, right? If there's bathrooms that are accessible.
Yeah.
Mm. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, no good.
That makes me even more worried, because if you disappear...
That could be like an abducted thing. Right?
I was going to say, if you disappear in an area where you're in kind of civilized nature there, where there's a bathroom within walking distance, you would think that it wouldn't be that hard to find someone.
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree.
It's a little scary.
But here we are.
Yeah, I would agree.
His name is Anthony Mancuso. They continue to search for him. He's 16. All right. That is in the news for September 28, 2020. More in the news tomorrow. Coming up next, the Hot 5 at 5, a surprise firing in the NBA, and the latest on the Seahawks injuries. Next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.